last major adventure I had was building a recreation of the Ark of the Covenant, which has not aired yet on TLC.
I recall, John, that you were intent on doing that the last time we spoke. So you're telling me you have brought that experiment to fruition?
Yes, I have. And it does work. And there's entities, believe it or not.
Slow up.
I'm slowing up.
You've created the Ark of the Covenant, or recreated the Ark of the Covenant, I guess would be more accurate. What have you done? What have you done?
What have I done, Art? I've had a small version of it and a large version. And we tested a large version at P&J Metals in Richmond, B.C. here, and that thing went off ballistics.
What?
Massive sparks and ionization effects and entities flying around in the room.
Entities flying around in the room.
That's right. That's what Rudy was saying. I think my camera's not working properly, he said. So he double-checked the film when he was filming. Like, this is like 6 months of work we did.
Yes?
For Blue Book Films, who's a contractor for Discovery Channel Networks. So the main thing was major lightning and flames and white lights and strange little entities. And I had...
Did they capture this on film?
It's all on film.
It's all on film. Now, this is remarkable.
Hundreds of hours of film, Art, and it hasn't aired yet on TLC. I don't know why. It's on the Blue Book website, and they had a little show reel of it, and the show reel now is gone. The only thing that's left, I believe, is on the Blue Book site is credits, and they give the Ark of the Covenant revealed.
Good Lord, John. David, are you aware of all this?
Well, no, actually. I didn't know that this was something new that John was doing. But he did tell me something, and I remember looking at actual photos. In the energy fields, he could see entities actually appearing inside of the fields that were almost angelic-looking from what I remember when I saw them. And possibly, I mean, that is a way to, you know, when you think of Star Wars and these three-dimensional images of Princess Leia appearing out of R2-D2.
Right.
You know, it was almost like that. I mean, it looked like you just see this field in this three-dimensional image just floating inside of the field.
John,
is that correct, John?
John,
yeah, that's right.
John, I need to understand how one goes about, in effect, back engineering the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, how did you know enough about the original makeup of the Ark of the Covenant to attempt to duplicate it?
Well, I have, Art, a lot of teachers, and some of them are like Ben Franklin and many other, like history. I read books. If I'm not sure of anything, I'll read books or consult.
All right, John, where'd you get the plans for the Ark of the Covenant?
Well,
Which book had that? The Bible?
The Bible. I went by the Bible and other books.
Is the Bible specific enough to begin to back engineer a technology?
No, not really. I had to go into other areas of research and speculation and saw the other scientific experiments that were done. I'm always fed information from other sources all the time.
Yes.
And there was an experiment done 30 years ago in a university somewhere back east where they did this, and this thing caused major havoc, and they dismantled it. So I went on the premise that, okay, this thing has to be powered by maybe electrostatics. We tried all the other ways with even some of my crystal material as a cement. We tried grapefruit, and then we tried the voltaic piles. That was quite a weighty voltaic pile, getting up to 100 volts. And then I thought, no, maybe something simple like electrostatics. So I supplied perhaps the conditions you'd find in Egypt, dry winds,
yes,
and that, and especially the tabernacle, which is cloth, which would collect a lot of ions in that.
So you duplicated the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you produced this high electrostatic charge.
That's right.
And swearing on the Bible, you're telling me...
Yes, sir.
You produced effects that included entities that they caught and documented on camera.
Right on
and
camera.
And David Sarita, you're standing behind this?
Yeah, I've seen some of the photographs in the field, and they do look like I said, almost like angelic-type forms. And, you know, I've personally seen this stuff with my own eyes. I've seen three-dimensional beings right in front of me, and through, you know, 25 years of practicing meditation, something's got to change in your ability to, it's like a radio. In Einstein's four dimensions, you have up and down, you know, width and then depth and then time. And the observer is also a part of that dimension. You could almost call the observer the fifth dimension. Now, if you can, every one of those points in Einstein's four dimensions are wave-particle relationships, and they all have frequency, including the observer. So if you change the frequency of the observer, then what you can observe, the quantity of dimensions that you can observe increases, just like moving up and down the FM dial. So in my experiences, I've seen these things three-dimensionally right in front of me. You know, humans, even my aunt when she died, I saw her right in front of me as clear as day. And what I saw inside of the field from the photos of the Hutchison effect reminds me so much of that.
All right, you two. Frequently on this program, beginning when I was doing it full-time, mm-hmm. we started hearing all these stories of so-called shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beings or entities, nobody's quite sure, seen kind of in flickering vision. There's a theory that in these modern times, people are staring at monitors for hours and hours and hours, computers. I'm guilty of that myself. I do it. Mm-hmm. And after spending hours staring at a computer monitor with a frame rate of, 60 refreshing per second or whatever, it begins to change the human brain a little bit in terms, vibrationally, it changes the human brain a little bit and enables people to see more of whatever it is we're seeing when we see these so-called entities or whatever they are sort of at the corner of vision. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at the gap. Buddha always talked about the gap between the in and the out breath when you meditate. And then you also look at the gap between the peaks and the waves. And as your brain starts to change frequency, information in the in-between points of waves starts to peer through. And that is where these other dimensions are. And I think if you expose your brain, which is a wave machine, to a computer or any electric current long enough, it's going to start to manipulate the wave state of the brain, and maybe those gaps start to get wider and wider and more of that information starts to come through. When you see one of these things yourself, I mean, even thinking of shadow beings as black, mysterious figures, again, these things can appear black, but it literally could be a much higher frequency than we're used to seeing, so you just get a void, but you do get a shape. You do get an actual form. And if you're able to see high enough in frequency, that form will start to have detail. And what's strange about this apparatus that John has set up is it works the same way. It's a wave field, and that field, it's possible, it's acting as a, you know, almost like a medium between those higher dimensional energies and what we see, and it allows it to reflect inside of that field, and that's a communication device. And maybe the Ark of the Covenant was such a thing. It was a communication device to communicate with God. I mean,
You know,
or you know, demigod or God or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, you know, I wonder about the advisability of opening doors like that. I mean, when you endeavor to reinvent the Ark of the Covenant, it seems to me you're inviting the possibility of, well, God knows what.